Welcome to Tales from the Top Shelf, the show that lifts the lid on New Zealand's distilling magic. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf, your guide to the flavours, the people and the inspiration behind our top local spirits. We'll hear what drives these distillers to create their signature blends and maybe discover a new favourite along the way. So whether you're a gin lover or a whiskey wizard, join us on the ride and always keep it classy and drink responsibly.
Kia ora everyone and welcome back to Tales from the Top Shelf. I'm Susie Carrig from the NZ Spirit Guide. We're continuing our look into Aotearoa's craft cocktail scene. Today we're in Dunedin, where bold coffee meets liqueur in the award-winning creation that is Quick Brown Fox. Joining me today is Arjun Hazard, the founder of this coffee-infused liqueur brand that's making its mark both here and overseas. Let's dive into the story of how Quick Brown Fox began and what makes it stand out and what's brewing next. Welcome, Arjun.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me, Susie.
Thank you for joining us. Right. Now, can you tell us a bit about your background and what life looked like before Quick Brown Fox?
It's a very good question because my life before Quick Brown Fox was very different to the world that is Quick Brown Fox. When I was a teenager growing up in Christchurch, I was very much into swimming. And I saw some success as a swimmer, and my career path was going to be related to that. So I studied a Bachelor of Sport Coaching and was a swimming coach, and then worked for Swimming New Zealand and moved to Wellington. And that's what I thought my life was going to be. It was going to be around sort of sporting and governing bodies and things like that. And it was definitely a big part of my life and a big passion. But it was my girlfriend at the time wanted to move to Dunedin, and I followed her down there and quit my job. On the way down, I stopped in at Christchurch and saw my mum, and she was making a feijoa liqueur just by mixing feijoas and brandy and sugar and things like that. And she gave me these great big mason jars and said, "Oh, why don't you try making some feijoa liqueur?" And I said, "Oh, all right, mum. So I loaded them in my car and continued down. When I got to Dunedin, I couldn't find a job. This was around 2008, you know, financial crisis, that kind of thing. I'd narrowed my career down to a very fine thing, which was, you know, very swimming specific. And I basically couldn't find a job. And I ended up going back to university and studying management or something like that. And got tinkering around making liqueurs from mum's old mason jars. Feijoas were out of season. I thought, I quite like coffee. So I started making coffee liqueurs, just mixing instant coffee and vodka and sugar. And then I kind of thought, what if this could be, you know, made using real coffee? There's this real kind of culture that exists around real espresso coffee and going to cafes and things like that. And that took me on quite a big journey of discovery and learning and the complexities of coffee and things like that.
Right. Okay. So then what sparked the idea of the whole sort of, obviously your mum helped the influence into learning how to make coffee liqueur, but it's a big jump to go from that then to the initial concept to launching a full product.
Yeah. So I entered a business entrepreneurship award. It was called Audacious down in Dunedin. And actually, we had a really great mentor who was quite cunning, because he did a thing. So we weren't ready. Basically, if you make a coffee liqueur using hot coffee, it goes sour. And I wasn't really able to make this recipe. I had a business partner, Cameron, at the time, who is still involved in the business very much. He's our operations manager. But at the time, we were both these 25-year-old kids trying to make this coffee liqueur, trying to use this hot coffee. And David, our mentor, put in an order. He said, "Here's an order. I need 100 bottles for this event." And we were like, "Oh, an order." Oh. And that just was the fire under the pot that made us just make it work. And I guess the truth is we were able to make a coffee liqueur, put it in bottles. We had to quickly get the design done, quickly get the bottles done, and just make a liqueur, put it in bottles in order to sell it. But that was like the spark that just went from itchy trigger finger to pulling the trigger.
Right. Okay. So then when did Quick Brown Fox officially launch, and how did you carve out this niche in what seems like a bit of a crowded field with obviously dominant international brands?
Yes. Well, so straight after that event, we'd use hot coffee in our thing. So at the event, it tasted great. Everyone was like, wow, what an amazing coffee we got. And then at the end of it, like a couple of days later, the same product had turned sour. So it was like, oh boy, all the people have now tried it. Now we need to actually make this recipe work and then get it out for sale. So all the people who have tried it can now go ahead and buy it. So we basically found a method of creating the coffee, which was cold extraction. And that was like the great big breakthrough, which allowed us to do this. But in the world of coffee liqueur, yes, it is very saturated. I mean, it's not a very commonly consumed product compared to, say, gin, but it's something that people might have one or two of, and therefore they'll try to make that quite special. That's kind of the insight that I think we have around coffee liqueur. Yeah. So while you've got the mainstream brands like Kahlua and Tia Maria, we felt that there was this niche where the world of coffee has come so far compared to the world of liqueur, which was quite old and stuffy. And so we wanted to create a product that sort of fit the modern coffee aesthetic, brought people into the modern world with where coffee's going, and match that kind of aesthetic and flavor, what people would expect.
Mm-hmm. And so what year was it that you launched?
2011.
So originally from moving to Dunedin in 2008, you find yourself launching in 2011.
And my first factory, I used to fit everything in the back of my car, and I'd borrow a friend's cafe after hours. They'd finish up on Friday at 3 o'clock. I'd be waiting there with my car. I'd double park and unpack everything into their commercial kitchen, make it all of Friday night, make it all of Saturday, and then I'd be packed down and ready for the market on Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's four premises ago. We're in our fourth premise now, and we're in our fourth iteration of bottle as well. So it's definitely, grown and changed a lot since then. But that's how it started.
Wow. Okay. And so the name Quick Brown Fox, that's quite clever and memorable. Where did that come from, and how does that tie into your whole brand identity, and how does it reflect what you're creating?
Yeah. I mean, keep in mind, I was 25 at the time when I developed this liqueur. And I think I guess loosely speaking, it's like a nod to learning. It's a nod to, when you learn to write, you always write Quick Brown Fox jumps over the lazy dog. It's a pangram. And I think that's the thing that you do when you drink liqueurs. You're always like learning and talking and communicating. There's kind of like a loose fit there. But I guess the truth is I actually asked on Facebook, oh, has anyone got any names for this coffee liqueur? And one person came back with something silly. I got a whole lot of silly responses. One was like, oh, brown velvet. And I remember thinking I quite liked the word brown. It just kind of like was soft and descriptive and delicious sounding. And so I wanted that brown in the name. And then when it all just sort of clicked as Quick Brown Fox, I just thought, oh, that kind of works.
It does, absolutely. Right. Now you've touched on complexities, but sourcing and working with coffee obviously does bring a lot of complexity. How did you go about selecting your beans, developing the roast, and balancing it with that whole spirit and sweetness once you'd discovered that cold brew was your way to go?
Yeah, so that's a very apt question, because when you brew coffee cold, you don't get as much from it. Cold brew is a very light and refreshing way to drink coffee. And so what we had to do with cold brew was to tweak the other variables. We had to choose our blend very carefully. We use a blend of four beans: Peru, Timor, Colombia, and Sumatra. Three of those coffees, all of them except Colombia, are very sort of rough They're the kind of ones that you might only add 5 or 10% to an espresso blend, but ours, it's like 70% of the blend.
Right.
And we do that because cold brew doesn't extract as much bitterness from the coffee. So we didn't want bitterness, but we wanted the depth that that carries. So we had to change the blend, we had to change the concentration, we had to change the grind size, and we had to change the roast. Our roast is shamefully dark. These days, if you wanted a nice coffee, it wouldn't be dark roasted. But yeah, for us, to get that perception of bitterness coming through, we needed to do quite a dark roast. And if you were to try our coffee hot, it's revolting. It's very strong, very bitter, very awful. But by the time you add, by the time you cold brew it at concentration, and then you add alcohol and sugar to it, hey, it stands out and it complements those flavors really well. So absolutely, that was the challenge. And it continues to be a challenge as the coffee price goes all over the place. And as, you know, supply issues become a challenge as well. So the coffee is absolutely our lifeblood, and it's the thing that we're very connected to.
Yeah, absolutely. What is your base spirit that you use?
We just use a neutral spirit. It's, you know, a regular customer would call it vodka, but yes, we get it at, you know, 96% or whatever. Yeah, it's just a neutral spirit derived from grain or sugar.
Right. Okay. Okay. So let's talk about the bottle itself. It's dark, it's sleek, and it does have a premium look about it. Can you tell us about the design and what sort of message you wanted to convey?
Yeah. So this is the fourth iteration at the bottles. And the very first one was like an olive oil bottle with an illustration on it. And the second version was a pitch black bottle with a copper embossed label. Now, each of those first two had quite big issues, mainly in the labeling of them. So, you know, they were both hand labeled, and I very quickly learned that a long label on a tapered bottle is a nightmare. That was in the second iteration, but the very first one was more of a nightmare. That was like a sort of a hexagon shape. And that was like very, very difficult to hand label. And then, so the third iteration was the bottle that it's currently in. And for that one, I thought in order to be an international brand, you know, we need to have a great silhouette. And that means creating a custom design. And that means committing to volume. And it means committing to, you know, the brand and the shape and things like that. So actually, if you look at the bottle, it's got this beautiful curve in it. And it's slightly tapered, and then we've got a decal on the front. The decal allows us not to put the label on it, and also makes it just look great. The curve in it is elegance without saying too much. So I found that like any brand that says premium in it is definitely not premium. You are premium not by saying it, you are premium by being it. And yep. So that is what we try to do with our liqueur, is to say less and just be.
Absolutely. That's very, very well said. Okay, let's talk about your three creations in your range. You've got your coffee, your original coffee liqueur, the flat white coffee liqueur, and my favorite, the overproof coffee liqueur. Can you tell us about what sets each one apart, what flavor experience you aim for in each, and how you recommend serving them? Let's start with the coffee liqueur.
Yes, so there is actually one more in that range, and that's our bottled espresso martini, which is quite funny because that's been four products that are all coffee liqueurs, and that's what we do. We specialize in coffee liqueurs. So the Quick Brown Fox is 20% alcohol. It's a coffee forward coffee liqueur with a little hint of cinnamon in it, and that's what makes it quite an interesting flavor. So we use real organic cinnamon, real organic coffee, and nothing artificial in that product. And it's a very a bright and complex flavor when you drink it. And that was this flavor that really made me pause when I was first developing that recipe. And it's the flavor that has remained. I was always just yearning for that that little sharp sort of nip of flavor that comes with that blend. And it really just dances on the palate. And it sort of, you know, there were times when I thought maybe we could drop the cinnamon. And I felt that it's good to keep because it gives us the unique flavor. If we were to drop it completely, we're just another coffee liqueur. And the combination of that flavor is just so important. It just makes it this really unique product in itself. And it's simple. It's just cinnamon, but it's just this really nice organic cinnamon. And it's, yeah, the combination, it just works in such nice harmony. And the Quick Run Fox, I mean, most people, it's very versatile. Most people use it to make cocktails like espresso martinis or, you know, various other coffee-based cocktails. But, I love it when people just drink it straight or over ice. It's a really nice wee drop.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what came next? Was it your flat white coffee liqueur?
Yes, thereabouts. I think maybe the overproof would have come before that. But we'll talk about the flat white next. So the flat white is actually contract manufactured through Remarkable Cream, who I understand you're interviewing next. Will is a great friend of mine and has become, a great business companion as well through his contract manufacturing of flat white. So we wanted to make a cream liqueur. Cream is very difficult to work with. And initially when I started looking at it, I found contract manufacturers weren't using fresh cream. They were using hydrogenated fat and creamer. Hydrogenated fat and cream, and then just blending it together with the flavors. Yeah. And the taste of it was horrific. It's like, it's got a very awful mouthfeel to it. So Will is up here in Auckland and he's doing, fresh cream liqueurs. And I said, hey, look, what are the chances of you being able to do like a contract manufacturer of this? And he was open to it. And so we make a coffee blend. We make it extra strong and we blend it with alcohol. We send it up to him, then he makes it into cream liqueur, then sends it back. And part of that initial flavor development was, adding some color and some flavor in there as well. Mm-hmm. So that we do have a unique product from Remarkable Cream's offering. And then we get it back to Deneen and package it up and then send it out and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And flat white, of course, is, it's New Zealand's quintessential coffee order. It was a hotly contested product, whether it was invented in New Zealand or Australia, but we'll just claim it and say it was invented in New Zealand.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we, that's why we try to sort of really focus on that being like a critical New Zealand coffee cream liqueur.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking at all the different cocktails on your website and I tell you what, over the holiday period, I can certainly see some delicious cocktails being created.
Did you get a bit thirsty reading that website?
Yeah. And it's only 11 o'clock in the morning. Then you had your overproof coffee liqueur, which is my favorite. That's a real kick. Can you tell us the story behind that?
Yeah, so I started a product called Sinister Wolf many, many years ago. And my goal was to make it 50% alcohol and be a coffee liqueur. So everything in it was more intense. It was like a stronger sugar syrup. It was a stronger coffee. And there was 50% alcohol. And it was only in a little 375ml bottle. And I remember I launched that product out of spite because there was another coffee liqueur brand that was 35%. And I thought they're just mixing like coffee and sugar with like a bought 40% whiskey. So I'm going to trick them and make a 50% liqueur. So that's how that product started. But it later eventuated and sort of found its niche because I remember the feedback was always that it was very strong. And of course it's 50% ABV. It's crazy to have a 50% ABV coffee liqueur. And so what we ended up doing was putting it in barrels. I managed to get some ex-bourbon barrels, ex-Jack Daniels single wash barrels, and rest it in there. The first batch came out after 9 months and it was tasting great. The second, third and fourth batch came out after 2 years and it was exceptional. So we, just have a small amount of that left. It was always going to be a limited edition product, and there's about 200 bottles remaining. And we just sell it at events and direct to customer.
Yeah. Okay. So jump on the website for that. And then you've also got your martini, your espresso martini blend. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, that's kind of so. I guess in terms of So the overproof is at like a high price. You know, that sort of retails at 120. The Quickman Fox and Flat White are the sort of mainstream ones, are about 60. And then with the Espresso Martini, we wanted to create a low-cost option. So it's in a very low-cost bottle because it's very consumable. You just quaff, you know, drink the whole thing in a night with your friends or whatever, then you, you know, chuck the bottle in the recycle bin. So it's just a very low-cost bottle, and it's 13.9%. So again, it's a very low-cost alcohol percentage. But what we've done is made it very coffee forward, and we've reduced the sweetness on it quite a lot compared to other brands out there. And it's designed to be a great espresso martini iteration for a bottled product. So yeah, make no mistake, the absolute best espresso martini you can ever have will use fresh espresso.
Absolutely.
No doubt about it. So you know, we've done what I think is a pretty good job at creating it, but it's also priced appropriately. So great for batching, great for, you know, parties and things like that. So mm-hmm. that retails for about $32.99, and you'll often see it on special down to $27.28.
Yeah, we see that's great for a night out with girls or something. Right, now, over the years, you've picked up some pretty impressive awards, double gold at the NZ Spirit Awards, Global Liqueur Masters Gold, and also Design Recognition. Which award stands out the most to you, or is there one that you're most proud of, and why?
It probably is the Design Gold, actually, through Global Liqueur, Global Packaging and Design Masters. Partly because when I released that new design in 2022, like it was quite a lot of work. You know, it was during COVID. It was a very stressful situation to create that brand with our designer. And then I never felt confident. It took me some time to feel confident with it. So getting that award gave me the confidence to really get behind it, and you know, now I'm so convinced. I absolutely love the design and brand and stuff, and it's all about, you know, the elegance and stuff like that, but certainly during that creation process there was, you know, doubt and fear. So getting the award helped me alleviate those fears.
Absolutely. Okay, so what's next for Quick Brown Fox? Are there any new products or limited editions, cafe or dessert partnerships in the pipeline for you?
Yeah, we want to expand our range of espresso martini formats. So we're actually close to releasing a decaf espresso martini.
Ooh.
Yes, nice single origin Colombian coffee. And then beyond that, we might try to release like an Easter product and a Christmas product. But we moved into a new premise in January this year, and we have a lot more capacity. So we're kind of looking at where to expand and that kind of thing. I guess the other thing is we're launching 200ml bottles probably next year, early January, February. So that'll be good.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, nice little sort of gift and travel size, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, now, it's the end of a busy week for you. You're pouring yourself a well-earned moment. Which Quick Brown Fox bottle are you reaching for, and how do you enjoy it?
Okay, so if I have flat white in my fridge, I go through it quite quickly. So I try not to have it in my fridge too much, only sort of bring it out on social occasions. But for me, it would be original Quick Brown Fox, and I tend to like making like cocktails with it.
Right.
So the one I've got on at the moment is 15ml Blanco Tequila, 30ml Quick Brown Fox, 5ml Agave Spirit. You stir that with ice, and then you top it with pink grapefruit soda, and it is delicious.
That is quite a creation. I saw when I was looking at your website, just Quick Brown Fox and Tonic, and I'm like, a Fox and Tonic.
Yeah,
wow, that's an unusual mix. It sort of, certainly makes me want to grab a bottle for cocktail sessions over the holiday season, that's for sure.
Yeah, those simple serves are really important. And, yeah, we find Quick Brown Fox works really well with cola or tonic. Citrus and coffee is just such a great combination. So like a citrus tonic, like a yuzu tonic or something like that, just works beautifully.
Oh, delicious. Right. From beginnings in Dunedin to international recognition, Quick Brown Fox truly captures the spirit of creating and craft. And just like a good coffee, it delivers a lift with substance, energizing, flavorful, and proudly Kiwi. Arjun, thank you for sharing the journey behind Quick Brown Fox today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Right. To our listeners, if you want to explore Quick Brown Fox and shake up a cocktail of your own, head to nzspiritguide.com, the only place dedicated entirely to New Zealand spirits, making it easy for you to discover and support local. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, stay curious, drink responsibly, and keep your top shelf full of stories.
That's a wrap on this episode of Tales from the Top Shelf. We hope you've enjoyed this peek into the craft and creativity behind New Zealand's distilling scene. As always, sip slow, enjoy responsibly, and don't forget to support our incredible local spirit makers. I'm Susie from NZ Top Shelf. Catch you next time for more behind the bar stories.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.